start off with Pasuk towards the beginning of the parasha. Vahi Yitzchak ben Arbaim Shana Bekachta Es Rivka Bas Besuel Ha Arami Mi Padan Aram Achais Lavan Ha Arami Lele Isha. So Rashi asks, this Pasuk says that Rivka was the daughter of Besuel for Padan Aram and the sister of Lavan. Rashi says, was it not already written that she is the daughter of Besuel and the sister of Lavan and from Padan Aram? Last week's parasha already told us whose daughter she was. Told us all about Lavan. Says it's in Padan Aram. We know all this. We have all this information already. So why does it say it again? Now, lahagid shvacha shahisa bas rasha va'achais rasha umekayma anshe rasha v'laylamda mimaseim. It's to tell us her praise that she was the daughter of Rasha, the sister of Rasha, and her place was a place full of Rishayim, and nevertheless, she didn't learn from their actions. So, in Farshim, starting with the Mizrahi, that we know that also. Why does the Torah need to tell us all this information again? What don't we know? This is to tell us that even though she was the daughter of Rasha, the sister of Rasha, and from a place full of Rishayim, she didn't learn from their actions. She's still tzedekas. We know that also. Without this pasuk, we already know that. We know that she was the daughter of Rasha. We know that she was the sister of Rasha. We know she's from a place full of Rishayim. And we know she's a tzedekas. So why does the Torah need to say it again to teach me this? We know that also. Mizrahi's Kasha and others. So the Mizrahi, I'm going to go for a few different answers to this Kasha. The Mizrahi's answer is, which is a little bit difficult to understand, says, it's true, we already know all of this. However, what we don't know is, if we only learned it from the first time the Torah introduces us to Rivka, then we don't know that the Torah is specifically coming to praise her. We would know that she's praiseworthy because she's a tzaddikus, even though she's the daughter of Besuel and the sister of Lavan and from Padan Aram. We would know that. We would know she's praiseworthy, but we wouldn't know that the Torah is coming to tell us her praise. Now that it says it again, it's the Torah's. That's the Torah wants us to know that it is telling us, it's praising her. I'm not sure what the Mizrahi means by that. What is the significance of us knowing the Torah writes a pasuk to tell us how good Rivka was? We know from what it said before how good Rivka was. It's true. The Torah had to tell us the story. It had to tell us who her father was and who her brother was, because they're integral to the story. And it had to tell us where it was. So all those facts that it told us maybe were not for the purpose of telling us that she's praiseworthy. But we do know that she's praiseworthy just from the facts that the Torah presents. So why is it important for the Torah to say it again so that we know that the Torah is specifically saying it for the purpose of praising her? That's what the Mizrahi said. That's his Torah. The Torah said it again to tell us that we're specifically praising her, to tell us that it's being written now only for that purpose, to praise her. If it doesn't add to the praise, l'chayah, the same praise that is telling us now, we know that praise also. The only thing we didn't know is we didn't know that the Torah was coming to praise her. Now the Torah is coming to praise her. Now that needs, and is why it's significant. If the praise is true, then it's true. Why does it have to be that the Torah is going out of its way to tell us that? We know it without Torah going out of its way. So why is it important for us to know that fact that the Torah wants to praise her? That's not sure. That needs work. That needs a husband, the Mizrahi. As the Mizrahi says. Maral's Torah says that if it only said everything the first time, we would not know that she deserves praise, that she's praiseworthy at all, because we know she's very young. She's 3 years old. Maybe she doesn't have das. So maybe the reason she didn't learn from their evil ways because she's too little and she doesn't understand. So she doesn't understand the evil of her father and her brother and the people there. So she's born a small child and she's just going about her business and she doesn't know what's going on. So the fact that she didn't learn from what they're doing, the fact that she appears as a tzedekis in the parasha, doesn't prove that she's praiseworthy. Therefore, it says it again to tell us that, no, that she really had that, she really understood everything that's going on, and in spite of that, she didn't learn from what they said. That's what the Maral says. I always thought that the Parsha Pshat was over here. Let's answer the same kasha. We already know this before, so what is it telling us over here? Not true, we don't know this. What it says is, it's Lahagid Shvacha. She didn't learn from their actions. What does that mean? That she, her means that she's still a tzaddikus. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Let's say Noach. Right? Noach is tzaddik, tam hayi b'dayroisav. Right? So there's two pshatim. Yesh yidashon l'shvachi, yesh yidashon l'ganai. L'ganai is that ilo hayi b'dayroi shal avram avinu la yayi nechshav l'klum. And we spoke about this. But l'shvachi, yesh yidashon l'shvachi is that Ilu, but Hayu Bedar Shal Tzadikim, he would be even a bigger tzaddik if he lived in a Dar of Tzadikim. In other words, even though it's true he was a tzaddik, but he lived among Rishayim, and because he lived among Rishayim, he was affected by them. Therefore, his tzidkus was not as great as it could have been and as it would have been. And those of Dar Shal Mishvach are telling us that it's only because he lived among Rishayim that he was not a greater tzaddik. If he lived among tzaddikim, he would have been even a greater tzaddik. So there we see, very clear, I think, that in spite of the fact that Noach was a tzaddik, because he lived among Rishoyim, he was affected by them. He was affected by the Rishoyim. That's why it says, if he lived among tzaddikim, he would have been a bigger tzaddik. He would have been a bigger tzaddik. So, in the parasha here, in last week's parasha, we see that Rivka was the daughter of a Rasha, the sister of a Rasha. She lived among Rishoyim, in a place of Rishoyim. And she was a tzaddikah. That we do see. But we don't see that Lelamdam Imah Seim. How do we see that she didn't learn anything from what they did? We see that in spite of who they were, in spite of all the influences, she was a tzaddikah. But how do we know that she wouldn't have been even a bigger tzaddikah if she wasn't coming from Rishayim, she wasn't the daughter and the sister of Rosh and among all those Rishayim? How do we know she wouldn't have been a bigger tzaddikah? How do we know she didn't learn anything from what they did? It's true, she's not copying them, she's overcome a lot of it. How do we know she's overcome it completely? How do we know she's not affected? How do we know that there's nothing in her what she grew up with and what she's affected by and who she comes from? How do we know that? That's what the Torah says it again. From there, I only know she's a tzaddikas in spite of the fact that she's among Rishayim. But how do I know that she wouldn't be a bigger tzaddikas if she wasn't among them? And how do we know she's not influenced? That's why the Torah tells me again to tell me that. Tell me that Lelamdam Masayim. Not only was she tzaddikas in spite of all of that, but she's a tzaddikas gemura. She absolutely didn't have any effect from her connection to all that rishus. Lelamdam Masayim means she didn't learn a thing from them. Nothing came into her. There's no effect whatsoever. That's an unbelievable thing. That's really what I always thought was Pashup Shad. I said the Maral doesn't look like that, Mizrahi doesn't look like that. And I asked Rav Shiva this morning. He told me, I think I've heard from him before, his teretz to this kasha is that Rivka's godless is not just that she's a tzaddikas in spite of the fact that she's surrounded by Rishayim and comes from Rishayim and so on. Her godless is that even though she grew up among Ramoyim, right, among Kanmen, right? Basuel is an Arami, Lovin is an Arami, Chazal Darshan means Ramai, she's from Patna Aram, it's called Aram, it's Loshen Ramai. It's a place full of Ramos. It's not that Rivka overcame the Ramos and distanced herself from it and made herself just Tamimis Dik and didn't learn anything about their ways. She learned plenty from them. But she didn't learn from their actions, from their midas, from their koiches and nefesh that she has and that she taka learned from, and that she incorporates. In other words, like Yaakov Avinu says to Rachel, she says that you won't be able to overcome my father. He says, if he's a rami, ochiv ani b'ramos, right? I'm his brother. I'm his equal in ramos. Yaakov Avinu tells her. What's pshat? You see that Ramos can be used for good also. That's clear. Yaakov Avinu used Ramos. He used it there. Used it on his father against Esav. So Ramos in and of itself is not a bad thing. The question is how you use it. The koyach of Ramos. I'll explain a little bit further in a minute. It's not a bad thing. It's a koyach nefesh that can be used l'tayv. So what the Rosh Hashiva said is pshat over here is l'lamnu masem, that even though that She's the daughter of a Ramai. She's the sister of a Ramai. She's from a place of Ramos, of total Ramos, and she didn't learn the Ra of Ramos. In spite of the fact that she incorporated, she has the Koyach of Ramos, and she uses it for good, but she didn't learn their bad usage of it. That's what it means, Olam Vasem. That's a much bigger God. It's one thing if you just totally insulate yourself. I don't want to be like my parents, I don't want to be like these people, I don't want to be like my brother, just turn away and close yourself off to it and that way don't be affected by it. No, but it's a lot harder to open yourself up to realize that there are koiches and nefesh over here that can be used for good and expose yourself to it and first of all she had that as part of her makeup. And expose yourself to it. See what people are doing over here. See how my father acts. See how my brother acts. See how all the people act over here. And they're all the shoyim. And then understand, be able to separate between the ra and the toiv, and take only the toiv and use it. That's a much harder, much higher madrega than just distancing yourself from everything. No, I'm here. I'm going to take it all in. I'm going to understand what I can take and what I can't, and then come out a tzadek as gemur from that. With all the koiches and use them for good. That's what the Shiva says in the pshat. The reason it says it again is not just that she was a tzedekah, that she overcame her connection to them, but that she used her connection for them, and yet she didn't learn from their meisim, but she used her connection to them, she used the koiches that she got from them, and that she was exposed to, she used the taka for good. Ramos, the Shiva explains the koich of Ramos is, what is a Ramai, a con man? What does a Ramai do? What is a Ramai? What koyach does a Ramai have to have? What's the ikur koyach of a Ramai who's successful at Ramos? What koyach does he have to have? He needs to know how to talk somebody into something. Is it just the koyach of being a good talker, a good convincer? If you want to convince somebody of something, then what koyach do you have to have? Much more important than just being able to speak well. You have to understand the other person, exactly. You have to understand the other person. If you hate something, and I'm going to try to talk you into it, I'm not going to get anywhere. I have to know what are your interests, what's your self-interest, and then I can use your self-interest against you. I can talk you into something. Why do I have to talk you into something? It means on your own you wouldn't agree to it. It's not something you want. How do I talk you into something that you started out not wanting, not agreeing to? I have to understand how to convince you that it's good for you. How can I convince you that something is good for you, right? If you don't think it's good for you? I have to understand where you're coming from. I have to understand why you don't think it's good for you, and I have to be able to counter that. I have to understand the other person very well. A Ramai, you can't con somebody unless you understand his self-interest and use that against him. So that means the Yisoid of Ramos starts with, I can put myself in your shoes. I can empathize with another person. I can understand where another person is coming from, right? So now the corruption, the kilkul of that is Ramois Lara, where I use that against you. I use that for my own good against you, and I convince you that something's good for you, and really, it's not good for you, it's good for me, and it's bad for you. But because I understand, I can put myself in your shoes. I understand how you think, and therefore I can use that against you. That's the kilkul of that koyach. But what's good about that koyach is if I can put myself in your shoes, I can empathize with you, I can understand where you're coming from. It means I understand what you need, I understand what hurts you. It means I'm not going to say something that's going to hurt you, even though if somebody said it to me, it wouldn't hurt me. You hear that people say that all the time, right? That, of course, especially like older kids, you hear somebody insult somebody, you shouldn't say that. Oh, no, they don't mind. My friends, we all talk that way to each other. This is a constant, especially with teenagers. Not that there's any teenagers here. It's a constant, right? No, we all talk that way to each other. We're kidding around. I don't mind people talk to me. They don't mind. She doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. That's a constant thing. Truth is, when people say that, usually all they know is, I don't mind if somebody says it to me. Therefore, I assume if I don't mind it, you don't mind it. Right? First of all, it's not always true. It's easy to say, I don't mind if somebody says it to me because nobody says it to me. If somebody would say it to me, maybe I would mind. But even if it's true, all I know is, I know how I feel about something. So if I feel that way, so then I can assume you feel that way also, and nothing can be further from the truth. We all have different things that bother us, different things that hurt us, different things that we're sensitive to. So people usually judge what they think is going to hurt somebody else by what they think hurts them. That's as far as as we usually go, even someone who's already thinking about not hurting somebody, somebody who's trying to be sensitive to somebody else, usually I gauge somebody else's feelings based on my own feelings. It's a madrega to be able to forget about how I would feel. Let me try to figure. In other words, even that is hard. How would I feel? It's not happening to me. It hasn't happened to me. How would I feel if what's happening to that person, or what's about to happen, or what I'm about to say, how would I feel if it was me? That alone is hard. If I haven't experienced it, that's a hard thing to do. But what's a lot harder is, forget about how I would feel. How are they going to feel? How do I have to be able to put myself into the other person's place and forget about how I would feel? It doesn't make a difference how I would feel. How would they feel? In order to do that, I really have to understand the other person. It's a tremendous understanding of human nature. I have to have knowledge and facts also. If you don't, you can be a tremendous Baal Seichel, and you can have tremendous understanding of human nature. If you don't know the other person, it doesn't help. You don't know what their nature is. But even if you do, that's a tremendous koyach. Even if you know the person, to be able to understand what makes them tick and how they feel and how they would feel, that koyach of empathy is an unbelievable thing. So that's what Rav Moses is based on. Meshiva says that's why Talmud Bavli is written in Aram's Aramaic. It's the koyach of being able to understand another side. The whole Shir al Mahalachan is very interesting. But that's the koyach of Rav Moses. So that's what Shiva starts to discuss. So the reason Torah tells us again is it's not only that she was a tzaddikus and she overcame all the rishis she was connected to. She learned from the midas and from the koyachas and nefesh that that those rishoyim used, but she didn't learn from their actions. She didn't learn from their maisim, from the maisim royim. She was able to take the koyachas and not learn from the maisim that they not learn from the way they exercised, the way those koyachas manifested themselves in their action. That's an unbelievable thing to be able to learn from it. And not learn how they use it and not be affected by that, that's an unbelievableness. That's what Shiva says Pshat over here. Anyway, let's go a little further. So a little bit more. Davind, Yitzchak, Yimivka Davind, and she conceived. The children were fighting, running, the different shotim. Latoimrim Kane Lomazon Nochi. And she said, if so, why am I like this? She went to seek out Hashem. So Rashi learned, if so, if I have so much pain in pregnancy, and she went, Medrashim says, she went around and asked all the women, nobody else had such pain like she has. If so, if I have so much pain, I have so much desire and was davening to become pregnant if I have so much pain. So the Arachayim HaKadosh over here says, basically, he doesn't say it quite like this, but how could Rashi say such a thing? He says, tzaddikim, especially the obviously in the Mois HaOlam, tzaddikim are willing to put up with almost anything to fulfill what they have to fulfill in the world. So for Rashi to say that because she had a lot of pain, therefore she's saying, I wish I didn't, why did I want to become pregnant? Why did I daven? She has charotza now that she davened to become pregnant. Why did she daven for L'chor? She wants a child from Yitzchak. She understands there's a Klal Yisrael to be maimed. She was a Nevi'ah. And now she's saying, because she had a lot of pain, that she wishes she didn't daven. She has charotza on davening. It's like unbelievable. It's like, almost like Toyal Rishonis. If she did the right thing in the first place, if it was right for her to daven for children, and now the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is granting her wish because she has pain, therefore she now has charota for davening. It's an unbelievable thing. I mean, the Rechaim says he doesn't say pshat in Rashi. He just says different than Rashi. He says basically you can't believe Rashi says that. There's also I don't see anybody who says pshat in Rashi. Just thinking that. Maybe the pshat is the lashon in Rashi here is very strange. Lomaza anochi, imkain lomaza anochi. Right? Imkain lomaza anochi. Why am I? So what is it? Why am I? So Rashi is saying, have desire and daven for children. But what I should say is, why was I? And Rashi should say, lomaza anochi, misav or mispalelas al hayroim. Rashi is speaking Lashon Hoiva. L'chara, he's saying, why did I want children and why did I daven, right? Lama ta'avti, you should say. Lama ta'avti v'hispalalti al ha'ivayim. Why did I desire and why did I daven to become pregnant? Not why do I desire and why am I davening? It's not, what does it mean, mispalalti? Why am I davening? It's a very strange lotion. I think the reason Rashi says that is because lama zeh anochi, the word zeh is very should. If it means why did I do something, it was lama zeh anochi. Zeh means this, zeh means now, means something that's here. Zeh, you don't talk about the over and use the word zeh. The word zeh means this that's here now. It doesn't mean something that happened in the past. If lama zeh anochi means why did I daven, the word zeh is out of place. But l'chair is why Rashi uses the lashon hover. It's not like lav dafke means why did I want children, why did I daven. He's saying it means not. So what does it mean? Could be, the pshat is, she's not saying, I wish I didn't daven. The words don't say that. The words don't say, im kain, time im kain, I shouldn't have davened. I shouldn't have wanted. Why? She's asking why. What do you mean why? It's like, is it a rhetorical question? Like, if it means, I wish I didn't, it means, why did I? She knows why she did. She did because she wanted all the reasons that any mother wants children. The reason why Rivka may not want the children. Some she had even better reasons than a regular woman. She probably wanted children for the right reasons, right? So, what does it mean? Why did I daven? She knows why she davened, right? The question is, if I knew this is how it was going to be, I wouldn't have. No, that's not what I'm saying. What Rashi could be saying, she's now questioning. She assumed till now, when she davened for the right thing. She davened for the right reason. She wanted a child. She knows Yitzchak has to be Maimid Klal Yisrael, and he can't even marry somebody else. She can't give a shivcha. He's an oil tamima, Rashi says. So Rashi says that she couldn't give him a shivcha. It had to be from her. He davened it should be from her. She davened it had to be from her. So she knows that if he's going to have children, it's going to be from her. L'chair, she's davening because she wants Yitzchak to have children. And he needs to have children to be Makayim, the Ratzon Hashem. Now she sees that there's a problem with the pregnancy. No other woman ever had such pain. It can't be. So what's the pshat? Why is she having such pain? So she obviously takes that as a very bad sign. So there's something wrong over here. Something wrong over here. Either the pregnancy is not gonna continue. Someone says that. She takes this as a sign that she's going to have a miscarriage. Or with the other parts of Rashi says that the child is running out by a Beis Medrash and by a Beis Avodah Zarah. Chances are she doesn't know she has two children. She knows she has one child, and the child is running in all different directions. She sees that there's something very wrong over here. So now she's saying, if there's something wrong over here with the pregnancy, Lama, why do I want to be pregnant? And why am I davening? Like she's davening not. She's asking, what is Taka the reason why I want children? I thought that my reasons were pure. My reasons were L'shem Shamayim. But if they were L'shem Shamayim, then there wouldn't be a problem over here. If it's totally L'shem Shamayim, Yitzchak has to have children, and I'm the only one he could have it from, then why would there be a problem? If there's a problem, there must be some wrong, some bad motive of why I davened. Now she's asking herself, why do I want children? Why am I davening for children? What is going on? What is my reason? She's asking, Lomazah, why do I want? She's not saying rhetorically, why did I daven? I wish I didn't. No. Why do I want children? Right now, why do I want a child? Do I want a child for the right reason? Why am I davening that I should have children? There's even continuing the pregnancy. She's davening that everything should go well. Why do I want that? Do I want that? Is it only? Is it really so Yitzchak could have children, be Maimed Klal Yisrael, or is it personal reasons? She's now suspecting that the reason things are going wrong is because her motives are not pure. So she's saying, if this is what's going on, let me examine my motives. Let me examine why do I want this, and what am I davening for? What is the real reason I'm davening? Not Lashon Hara, it's Loma Zetz. Right now, what's going on in my head? It's true, she could ask why she wanted it before, but she's asking right now, why do I want children? Do I want it for the right reason? And she's thinking that maybe there's something wrong with her kavana, maybe there's something wrong with her. The Torah is made, and so the answer was, the answer was that there's nothing wrong with her. The answer was that she has two children. One is Yaakov and one is Esav. And one is absolutely good, one is absolutely bad. Even after that, she didn't go to Yitzchak and to Avram, the Maral says, because she was afraid that they would assume that there's something wrong with her, and Yitzchak would be Mizgana, and Yitzchak, maybe Avram would tell Yitzchak to be Megarish her. That's what the Maral says, why she didn't go to them, why she went to Shem, not to Avram and Yitzchak, even though they were Nevi'im. What's she going to Shem for? Let her go to them. And I said, Rishiva said, Pshat, that's Shver. But in any case, she's afraid there's something wrong with her. The Torah is being made that not only is there anything wrong with her, but she's an absolute tzaddikus to the point where she wasn't even affected by the Rishayim, which means, l'chari, she's a greater tzaddikus than Yitzchak is a tzaddik. Yitzchak is a tzaddik ben tzaddik. She's a tzaddik bas rosha, but yet she's not affected by the Rishis at all. She totally overcame Rishis, she wasn't even affected by it. The fact that his tefillah was answered, not her, that the Rishiva says is because the schus always over here is necessary, because the child is not only their child, it's the grandchildren of Avraham Avinu also. In terms of Klal Yisrael, the grandchild, so he needs Chos Ovis she doesn't have. In terms of her own Tzidkos Fakert, her tefillah should have been answered at least as much, if not more, than Yitzchak's, but because of the Chos Ovis, his tefillah was answered.